time. We have rules, ladies and gentlemen. Now, aside from all the normal rules involving livestock and small children, if you have a question, please raise your hand and then you wait for the mic. And most important of all, the session is recorded and everything you say will be held against you. Yes, do you have a question?
I was just testing the system.
If you have a question, then basically, it's a procedural system. Now the procedure is a political one. All right, yes, there's a question.
Yes, there.
Could this be any cooler?
Yes.
How?
I'm going to say robots. Robots could make it cool.
I can do that.
Or no, that's right.
Was that a promise? Only I can do the robots.
What comics? I didn't know if it was like what comics section. Speak clearly.
I was trying to stuff if it came out to be like Darth Vader.
You wanted it to be seductive, it came across more like sex offender.
I'm gonna tell you.
Admittedly, the distinction can sometimes be subtle.
This is not.
We all need to. All right, I'm gonna continue to allow people to filter in.
Okay. Oh, that's an awesome accent, man. That would be me.
NC-17.
Okay, good. Then Jenny can take over because
yes, sir.
What does it say on the back of your placard?
What's this? Fascinating, but what is it?
This is an informal question because the panel has not yet begun, but what does it say on the back of your placards? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
So,
you're on Greg Con TV. Oh, it, I got you. It's a Smiley on Greg Con TV. We have your daughter, Advance. She'll be released unharmed after the panel. It's the standard stuff. I apologize.
Right here.
That's it?
That's me. So I
thought that I have like this nose thing here. So.
Hey. It makes me Deadpool.
Who cares?
This is disappointing in a way. I like when they actually draw on there.
Yeah, but I drew like the same piece.
Yeah, but we charge it.
I'm very disappointed.
Sorry.
Singing penises.
Wow. That's a totally different.
Nipple.
Could be.
Yeah, no.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
no.
I'm texting all my friends. Tell them to turn off. We're not. Never mind.
I would like to see some breasts now.
I got my hopes up. I was going to be so debaucherous.
You certainly didn't ask for this.
No, it's just not.
Is the camera a hidden camera?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're generally in the highest.
That's good.
What kind of lens are you using?
It's science and technology.
Hang on, let's see what time it is. Because we do still have people coming in. It is adventure time. Let's just wait a couple. Minutes more. We still got a couple of people coming in.
So this is the topless panel, wasn't it?
This is the topless panel.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, we're going to start.
You went.
Sorry, right, honey.
Well, we've got to turn out here. Let's just. Okay, I think the mad influx of interested persons has ceased. It'll be followed by the mad influx of dissent.
If we can get them to all laugh like we're interested.
I don't know that there's hell going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a little more
light, a little higher.
All right, well, I'm going to officially call this meeting.
What are you dressed up as?
How do you feel with that?
What are you? Yeah, what are you?
I'm you.
He kind of is.
Me with hair?
Well, the Cthulhu-themed shirt.
Okay.
Tattoos?
Oh, she's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good answer. All right.
Some death in the room.
So, I guess while these last few people find seats in this packed room, I'm actually going to do the thing that I hate when people do it, but would you guys in the back mind moving up? We've got seats here, and it's easier for us to hear you to get closer to the people you've come to see and hear, and I can get you the mic faster.
Like the first two rows are splash zoned, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not like going to a Gallagher.
Did you bring your plastics? I hope you brought your plastics. The good news is it's like Gallagher. The bad news is it's not water.
The thing is, we got to bring it.
But the good news is it will be funny.
He's ready for the splash.
Walter White is in the front row. Right?
Okay. Okay, that's a little better. The cowards, we know who you are. Just cringe in the back and you'll be ignored.
No, but we can be mean. Like okay, what? Why don't you come?
There's, well, you were wondering where the camera was. There it is, right there.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Is that actually our camera? Or is that our camera?
I doubt it.
Okay.
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 Is it a good camera?
That's pretty good.
Yeah? Really? What brand is it? Can't see. Oh, cool. I like
it. It's on the black market.
Welcome, everybody. I would like to welcome our panelists, and I'd like to welcome our audience. And this is apparently, I'm going to call it Behind Webcomics. And I'm going to go over that again. This is a look at your favorite artists, and you may ask them anything you like, so long as it's about webcomics and the process there, and you can ask them anything.
Surprise us.
Except, where do you get your ideas?
Well, I'll answer that.
Yeah. No, you can ask that question. Just don't expect a serious answer.
Yeah, okay.
Because the answer is they come from her. The little known fact. All the ideas come from her. My name is Hunter Breslin. I'm going to be the MC. I apologize for that. But I'm going to facilitate the question asking process. So as the process goes, apparently I've been informed. Please raise your hand first. I will recognize you. I will bring you the microphone and then ask the question into the mic. And the reason being is not because that we are trying to be mean or anything, but the entire process is being recorded. And if you don't ask your question into the mic, the questions
kind of sound like this. Or ultimately, they sound.
And that's not as exciting for the people on DragonCon TV or the people who watch this on YouTube or purchase recorded versions later. So, at this moment, I would like to start with John Lotshaw.
Yeah.
And I apologize, because I know you, but what's your last name? Well, the thing is, I'm going to start with John and let him introduce himself, and we'll go down the line, and please tell us who you are, where you are, what your comic is, and how long you've been doing it.
Well, my name is John Lotshaw, and where I am is right here. Duh.
That was my fault.
Yeah. That was my fault. I thought.
I do a webcomic called Accidental Centaurs. It's a fantasy adventure. I also am very fortunate to be the publisher of the works of Bill Holbrook, whose works you will hear about in just a moment. And we're actually in the dealer's room, the artist alley. Please come by table 54.
I'm Bill Holbrook. I do a webcomic called Kevin and Cal, and I've been doing it since 1995. Continuously. Hey, I'm wondering where I am. I'm in the Atlanta area.
I just thought that would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, find out how far we've traveled to be.
50 miles.
Good Lord, man.
That's still the Atlanta area.
My name is O. I do the webcomic commission. And I'm also the artist for Hello Cheese, which you will hear more about in a minute. And I have been making commissions for 8 years. I got UB here. I'm from Colombia, South America, from the city of Medellin. And I had to travel 2 days to get here, so make the best of it.
Make it happen. I'm Darren. I write Hello with Cheese with Wonder Twins Power Activate, form of writer.
Form of sexy ball, then.
Oh, man, you do the form, and it's just going to surprise you in bad ways.
I can form multiple.
Hey, I didn't get shot on my way over here. That's always an achievement.
Yeah.
So you got a point for that comic? You don't think O got a point for that comic?
No, he did not. He knows the scoring rules.
I'll let you know who wins at the end. My name is Jenny Breeden. I do a webcomic called The Devil's Panties, and yes, it is totally satanic form. I traveled 2 miles to get here, and yet I still got a hotel room because, wow, I don't want to have to be parking. And I will be too hungover to drive home.
She's drunk now. No surprises there.
Are you checking to see if your boots were?
No, yeah. I was gonna pull something out. I was gonna
pull it out then.
Good night, everybody.
Where are you hiding that?
You would be
besides her boots?
Have you seen her skirt?
Oh yeah.
Leave it at that.
I'm seeing a lot right now.
Sorry!
Is that a hickey?
It's always a hickey.
Okay.
I'm Pete Abrams. I do a comic called Slinging Freelance. August 25th is my 15th anniversary of doing an almost daily strip for that long, which would be really crazy, except Bill's been doing it longer. 3 separate strips he actually does. But I know for a fact it's because he does third world children labor in his basement. And he refuses to tell me which demon I need to make this pact with. He looks nice. Don't trust him.
Well, I can get you some third world kids from my country as well.
They're actually Oompa Loompas.
Okay, yes, so I'm small. So I'm small, okay.
Oh, and I'm from Jersey, but I'm okay with it.
What exit?
That's a serious question. What exit?
Don't know.
Probably for the best.
So, who are you?
Yeah. What? No.
Audio.
It's their turn. It's their turn to do introductions.
Oh, we're not going around.
So we'll start here. As this is, I also have a webcomic, regrettably, it's called Vexar with 2 X's and 2 R's, and he's only been going since 2005, and he's missed a few days, but through magic subterfuge and retroactive posting, he appears not to have, so there you have it. I guess let's just start by, we can start with quarter questions. Do you guys have any announcements that you'd like to make about forthcoming business plans or books?
Do we have an announcement?
Hey.
Newborn
Child? No, we're doing a Kickstarter right now. Yeah.
Well, please elaborate.
Oh, we're doing a Kickstarter based on his comic commissioned. It's we're actually developing a card game based off of his comic, so it's got a bunch of zombies and ninjas and fantasy characters.
Let's go with surprises.
Lots of surprises.
I'm betting that makes it on TV.
The whole family too.
So, do we have any questions?
Thanks for coming.
No, it's quite yet.
I mean, you should ask questions. I'm best.
What's the rating for this panel?
Good question. What is? Well, no, it's easy. The rating is the triple X.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No.
How many 13 and under in the house?
Yes.
I would like, again, to bring to your attention, Jenny Breed.
Oh, yeah. Those kids over there. Okay, let's try something. Nipple. Nipple. A.
You're making the baby hungry.
Sphincter.
Now you're.
Are we good? Are we good? Okay. Yes. We're good. All
right. That was a good question, guys. Don't ask it again. Do you have another question?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
So I can say anything I want, right? Well, to a degree.
To a degree, yes.
I have a question. I have a question about the singing penises. What song are they singing?
I don't know. It's music. I think it's mostly just either a hum or a la. I mean, it depends on the penis.
You know, I think this answer has never been given in any panel at Dragon Con.
Let me warm it up first.
I'm hearing you say, "Hey, sexy lady."
You're welcome, Jenny. You're welcome.
I need an adult.
Hang on, we got a question over here.
Okay. Hi. Usually I always ask the one that everybody asks, how do you get into webcomics? Do you have any advice? I thought I would ask you the opposite of that one since it's more fun. Has anyone ever asked your advice and you just wanted to tell them to give up already? What's your favorite example of that?
Well, somebody standing by one of the panel, one of the posts in red makeup said, no.
I had a guy come up and say, your comic inspired me to do my own webcomic. So I said, oh my god, I'm so sorry. 2 years later, he came up to me at San Diego Comic Con and he said, I put together my first zine, folded over, stapled, you know, and I got it on my first comic. It took me 2 years. Now I know why you apologized. This shit is hard.
She reports that it's pretty nice. And sir, what was your question?
Just to kind of kick it off on a practical level, I'm not doing a webcomic, I don't have a plan to. I'm here for the entertainment value, but you need to keep...
Boy, you're in the wrong place.
No, I'm not. I'm very entertained. Maybe if you each took maybe a minute to say how you make money doing your webcomic.
Go down the line.
All right. Then we cut to the chase on that one.
Well, let's see. It's a good question. Well, I think we all make money by having various forms of merchandise that are related to what we do. Printed tomes, books of the comics, plushies, shirts, accessories, all kinds of crazy accessories. Advertising is good. But for me personally, the one thing that's worked for me having done this for 15 years is I have a membership called Defenders of the Nifty. It's like, it's pretty much, they pretty much give me money and I keep doing the strip. It's a very small percentage that do it, but it's a big audience, so that ends up fueling and paying me enough for it to be my full-time job, and I keep doing it for everyone else. And because I've been doing it 15 years, it means like the people who are just starting reading and didn't have money, they go to college, they get a job in the day, pay for it for the other. Even today, like someone came up to my booth, just get an idea of the range of time. This guy comes up to me and he says, I really love your strip. I was over in Iraq and I was reading the strip while I was over there, and it really helped me get through some tough times. And I was like, that's amazing. Every time I hear that, I really, you know, I'm really moved about it, you know? And I kind of don't know what to say back. And he said, when you started your strip, I was 5. Move on, soldier. but yeah, that's most of my money is generated from that membership. But yeah, you can make money any way you can, I guess.
Back alleys.
Yes. You have a different business model than mine. Yeah. I would be as effective at the back alleys.
I steal from the church bin. Yeah. It started out that I really love comic books. Physical, and I'm old school. I love the physical comic book, so my goal was always to get it compiled into a comic. the online updates every day was a way to hook them, bring them in, nice and addicted, and not for merchandise.
You say so nice.
Hear my friend sing?
That ship sailed.
Too late. I considered that the Daily Comic is like advertising for the merchandise. So I found that half of my income was online sales, and the other half of the income were the convention sales of the books. And then I got a manager, aka husband, and he set up the.
Stand up, Obi, stand up.
I don't know if you will.
Oh, crap, he's going to hate me now. He's going to hate me now. Let's hear it for Obi.
I'll get you your check later. So then the online advertising and alternative. Oh, am I supposed to? Is that the just? Oh, the flailing.
It's science.
You don't get a mic.
It's okay, I don't need one, my voice carries.
How do you make money? Oh god, that's a good question. Advertising, merchandising, a lot of people do it through t-shirts. Will you get a pen?
Wow.
Mine is bigger.
Oh, okay. Oh, but
it's not science, it's what you do with it.
Wait. But now he can walk around. That's not
fair. We get to hear Sluggy in the bathroom.
We're making fun.
If we're handing out mics, can I get like a Price is Right? Just kind of.
I want a Madonna mic because I can dance.
Oh, wait.
The parts of the game.
Oh, yeah. I can do the twirl.
Yeah, Sorry. Shot glasses and playing cards do really well. Some people make a lot of t-shirts, but God, I hate t-shirts. It's not one product, it's freaking 15. And merchandise, and then there's monthly giveaways of digital formats. So there's having downloadable books and having wallpapers and bonus comics. I love Chaos Comics, and they give away a written story that's a bonus.
I've been doing my webcomic for 8 years. My first convention was in 2009 in Connecticut. And so I flew up from Colombia. And, you know, up until then, I had basically been balancing webcomic with, I'm a teacher at a university. I teach at Universidad Pontificia Bolivariana in Medellin. And
could you
all got that?
For the women in the
you want to hear the cheers.
Universidad Pontificia Bolivariana. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a porn university. It's, you know, we just teach design. And so I fly up to Kineticon, and I have this webcomic that has a lot of audience. And, you know, I can't complain. I'm doing pretty well, but I'm not making any money. And I fly up with, like, buttons and stickers. It was all really depressing.
I cut out of him sitting on a toilet.
I look good on a toilet. You should see it. If you want, we can. Later, okay. So anyway, up until then, I had been making money off of my classes at the university and commissions, occasional commissions that I made, until at some moment, this guy, who's at Kineticon, strolls along my table and says, he actually said this, "You're doing this wrong." I go home feeling, well, not so good about myself, but
finally, about a year later, he'll tell you the rest of that part, but about a year later, he contacts me through email and says, you know, I think you're the most awesome person in the world, and I would do anything to be with you. So, I'm telling my version of the story now, okay? So, you know, I do have a side business. I do pee whiskey, and that keeps me, like, level financially. But around 2010, I decided to start working with this guy as my manager, and he's the one that runs the business. I just make the art. So take it away, Darren.
Okay, I'm actually going to go off of something that Jenny said that was more interesting to me. how you doing? How many people here in the audience actually are doing a webcomic or trying to do a webcomic? Okay, so we got a pretty good, for those listening, that was a show of hands of about 20. The thing that gets me about webcomic merch is really early on, and about 5 years ago, shirts were really like the trend item. And the more I've been looking at them, I have developed a larger and larger hatred of them. I love making shirts and I love wearing them, and I used to really be all about them, but the price of cotton has been going up in the past 2 years, like really, really fast. So the price of shirts have been going up, and you're starting to see a massive cut into our profit margin from that. Shirts used to be awesome because you can get small print runs of them done, and their markup would be in the like 60% territory. Like you're making 40% profit off each shirt. You're making 60% profit off shirts, or sometimes you would get it down to like 80%. Right now I'm getting like 55%. Oh. And I know, it sounds like, oh, poor me, but then, and I was looking at other stuff that we were making, and I'm getting more into books, more into prints, and board games, because honestly, there are a lot more work to put out, but if somebody looks at it, decides they want it, they can't not fit a piece of art or a book. Like, that either fits their wall or fits their bookshelf or it doesn't. If they see a shirt they want, they have to flip through and make sure you have that size, and it takes a little bit extra time for them to decide whether they want it or not, and then hand the money over. They see the piece of art, they just throw the cash down, they take it, and later decide where they're going to put it. But then we also found, like, another merchandise item recently. This past winter, we made a children's book called The Monster Alphabet, and
yeah,
and we got a fan. Awesome.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys know this, but right now nerds are like hella boning, like boning all over the place, and they're making little nerd babies. And so,
if any of you ladies need any help with that.
It seriously caught us by surprise that we didn't realize there was that big of a baby boom going on. I wrote the book for my own son.
Big of a baby boom. Say that three times.
And the funny thing is we're the odd couple because, you know, I'm actually married and I have a kid, no tattoos. He's got the tattoos, and he's actually castrated.
So, okay. You got the points for that.
Okay. Do any of you ladies wish to check? Okay. Awesome. Okay. You can. I think you can crawl in on the table.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to answer that. I'll go back to the people who are looking to do webcomics, and I totally encourage that. I will say that don't get into it for the money. Do not get into webcomics for the money.
It's for the sex.
Get into webcomics because you can't not do it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But how do you make money?
I'll get to that. But my advice to everyone, only do a webcomic is if you cannot not do it. You have this idea, you have a concept, or you just enjoy the process. Because getting to the point where you make money is like 3-4 years down the road. After you've built an audience. And that first 3-4 years of building the audience, you have to be sustained, but just by, because you love it. Now, in my case, what I found out was that I made money by begging. essentially what Pete was saying. Pete has the Defenders of the Nifty. I have the
Kelsey. Oh, I was not begging.
Yeah. I was begging. I have the Kells Angels. It's the public broadcasting model where you contribute at different levels. You get various goodies at the levels as they go up. It's later on it became Kickstarter, although I created it in 2001. I call it Kick Continuer. It keeps me going. I do other kinds of merchandising. John here publishes my books. I've tried T-shirts. I found out that my audience does not wear T-shirts, and John has boxes of T-shirts to prove it.
Are you saying?
Which, if you're interested, we will have them here tomorrow at really cheap.
Yeah.
Wait, where?
How cheap is cheap?
Somebody asked where. Now I've got two questions.
Okay.
But everyone's audience is different. Some people like Penny Arcade, they sell gobs of T-shirts. Everyone has a different percentage. We find it out through trial and error. T-shirts for us were the error. But we sell lots of
and
books.
A trial, too, for that
yes,
matter.
Right. But we do sell lots of books, and that keeps us going also.
Well, I actually don't make money off of my webcomic. What I do normally is video editing and motion graphics, After Effects, and lightweight 3D animation. But I also, thank you. But what money I do make from Accidental Centaurs, well, it comes from porn. My audience, yeah. My audience, as I had been asked, been begged, harassed for years for
that kind of porn.
Yeah, it's that kind of porn. To have adult art, adult stories. Finally, I did one, and it just went through the roof. I ended up making I was doing a patron program at the time, and I offered it as a bonus. And in one day, I got $5,000 in memberships in one day. Maybe there's something here. And I've actually done a few more things since then, and actually made, appropriately, an obscene amount of money off of it. So.
All right, we've got a question over here.
From Zorro.
I actually have a question about something that was commented upon before you actually get to the place where you can make money. In terms of generating, web hits, besides not sucking and constant updates, is there anything that you can do to generate more traffic?
Don't suck and constant updates. That's
advertising helps. Project Wonderful is an excellent way to advertise webcomics.
I actually ran the numbers on Project Wonderful. It's a terrible place to sell ads because that space value is severely undercosted compared to every other ad network. So as a buyer, split the hell out of that place and buy ads there. Also, showing up at conventions, meeting other people, meeting other comics, find people. And it's a double-edged sword because you want to meet people and make friends with them, and actually, because these are people that have shared interests with you, these are people that are going to go to conventions with you still, and they will help each other out later down the line. Don't make friends with them so that they help you out. Make friends with them because they have common interests, and that leads to them helping you out.
Jenny, you seem dubious.
Oh no, sorry.
You okay, Jenny?
No, I found that webcomic artists don't get vacations. You mentioned that the way that you build up readership is constant updates and regular updates. And so to be able to keep your audience, you have to update regularly. And so if you want to go on vacation or Christmas or sick day, you need to put something else up. And so for every Christmas, you get a lot of different webcomic artists who are asking for guest art or something. So I ended up doing a Christmas comic for this comic strip that I had been reading, and I had two of the characters being very inappropriate about reindeer poop and Christmas, throwing it at priests in the park, like you do.
It happens.
And that was, God, I don't want to do the math. 8 years ago, and I'm still getting traffic from something positive. And so if you do, oh yes, PG and Aubrey scare me. So if you do, if you have a comic that you like and you do a comic strip, guest art, or, you know, have a comic strip for them in there with their characters, and it's a way that they can post something up and have that day off, then that's, you know, that's a way to link back to your comic.
Okay,
I want to touch on that real quick.
Oh, touch her?
Oh. Go for it. Just do the hover.
Go for it.
You
okay there, okay?
With guest comics, there's a weird backlash effect. I'm guessing when you did your comic, you did it about the same way you do your actual comic, right? In terms of tone, art style.
Originally, I did another one that was in his art style.
Okay. And what I've seen is I've had some friends that they would do the guest comic route, and they would put tons and tons and tons of work into this, and they'd make it look gorgeous, they'd make it full of color.
His friends are me, by the way.
No. This is actually Jamie. He did this one comic, and he put all this work into it, and it was totally about, Samus banging a Metroid, and it was this great video game joke, and it was linking to his comic, which was an office romance that was in black and white. And while it's a great, brilliant comic, he was going after video game guys with banging Samus. And they basically were clicking, hoping for more video game smut, and got really deep, meaningful office romance. And it didn't work for him. He got a great big spike. It burned through his bandwidth that week and made his site run slow for a few days, and then no one stuck around. And then he did a different comic, kept it in his style, and found a much smaller romance comic and did a guest comic for them and got tons of traffic and like doubled his readership. So it's like a weird shaped explosive.
Well, I'm gonna have to respectfully disagree with the not sucking part. No, seriously. Okay. Thing is, okay, you guys watch the Olympics, right? Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna go into the Olympics. Okay. Remember when you see like the gymnastics people? You know, they go and they do this sequence, or like the divers, and they do this stuff, and you watch it, like it's amazing, and then bam, forward. Like what? That was perfect. What do you mean four? The same thing happens with art. Like you do something that other people cannot do, and for them, it's magic. For you, it sucks, right? So a lot of people, a lot of like my students at the university, because I still like teaching one class a week at the university, and a lot of people that you know you talk to, and a lot of aspiring artists think they suck, and yeah, you know, sometimes you do suck, but you don't suck as bad as you think most of the time, because a lot of times you suck for yourself, which is good. You know, you always have to think that you suck, because if you stop thinking that you suck, I'm saying suck a lot of times. So I'm gonna switch it to lick, because I enjoy licking more than sucking. So we're all okay here, okay? So no matter how much you think you lick, I enjoy licking more than, okay. So anyway, no matter how bad you think you are, what you do, if it's something that other people can't do, if it's a skill, if it's a talent, for people that can't do it, it's magical. It's something that goes beyond their understanding. This goes for everything, for music, for writing, for anything. Like, I can't write, he's a writer, and I just don't get it. So, it's good that you think that you're bad at what you do, because that's gonna keep you on your toes, and it's gonna keep you improving, and it's gonna keep you wanting to get better. But don't postpone it. Am I saying that right?
Postpone.
Okay, yeah. Postpone. Okay. Don't postpone what you want to do because you think you're not at a level worthy of doing it, because otherwise you're just going to wait your whole life until you think you're good enough. And if you're not full of yourself, if you're actually a good person, you're never going to be good enough for yourself, you know? So just get started. You'll get better, you know, with consistency and all, you'll get better. And believe me, people, you know, what you do is magic. It always is.
And you know, the internet is famous for friendly, constructive criticism.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get a couple more questions here. I do want to touch on one thing that you kind of alluded to that other people don't realize is you'll put your heart and soul into a comic, and it's your favorite comic ever. And when you post it, you'll get this resounding, echoing, meh. And then there's the day when you're late for that important thing that you're late for, and you don't have a lot of time, but you were late last week, so you've got to be on time to update the comic this week. You totally phone it in. You put the pie in the face in the comic, and you're like, oh, I've got to upload it because I got to have something there.
That's the one everyone wants to teach. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
Epic fan mail over that. So just never presume to know what your audience wants. Do the best that you can, and it will. It was said on Mystery Science Theater, the right people will get it. But let me get this gentleman here.
Standard Ask Me Anything question. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
I want a complete answer from every one of you.
I started last time.
Okay. One horse-sized duck, because that's a lot of meat.
In this fighting scenario, are we allowed to bring any weapons?
What do you have on you?
What we have on me.
Cell phone.
Gotta call in the airstrike.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go with the 100 duck-sized horses, because I'm gonna go with the shoes as the weapon of choice. I'm relatively sure I'm not gonna get tired of kicking a little tiny horse. And then
I think I go with the, what was it? Was it 100 or 1,000?
100.
100 duck-sized horses, because I just, like, get up on the table. And from a position of safety, I could totally mark these as My Little Ponies. There's something I could do with that.
I buy it.
Yeah, but then your customer will be like, hey, this one looks like you kicked it. And that's its cutie mark.
Kicking is magic.
It's stompy pie. Jenny, you want to go? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, it depends, okay? If it's Final Fantasy rules, I gotta go with the horse-sized duck, because if it's Final Fantasy rules, this is pretty much a boss, like a guardian, like a GF. I'm talking Final Fantasy VIII, so I beat it, I get to keep it, and then I can summon it. So, I mean, I know it's gonna be a little bit of extra effort to beat the horse-sized duck, but it's definitely gonna be worth it when I can, like, summon the duck, you know, the horse-sized duck, and it rains from the heavens and all that. So it's gonna be awesome. And imagine the eggs.
So would you call it duckabo?
No. This is more like duck frit or duck frit.
Yeah, we're talking about terrain here. We're talking on land or water. Because it's on land, I'll take the horse-sized duck. I can take the duck.
Oh, tough guy.
Yeah. Well, if it's water, I'll take the horses because they'll drown.
Horses can swim.
Not the little ones. They're not buoyant enough. They'll just like little rocks.
But that what if they're zombie horses and they start walking down the
Well, that's a different fight altogether.
Oh.
Well, we've got Zorro had a question first, I believe.
Zorro.
It's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Man, I'm with Zorro.
No. Zorro has just this type of mask.
No. Zorro wears that mask,
it's
but a hat.
Sunday. I'm exhausted.
No. But Zorro wears a complete bandana. He wears a complete bandana, but a hat.
Dread Pirate Roberts.
So you had a question, didn't you?
What are your thoughts on the recent Penny Arcade Kickstarter project? Do you think that will open any additional doors for webcomics?
It'll open doors for Penny Arcade.
Okay, first,
Could Zorro have been one of the Dread Pirate Comics?
Because no, it's not or Spring even riding the horse-eyed duck.
Oh, but he was the actual Zorro, because he was a pirate in the original book.
So where's their tie?
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but the complete head bandana is also worn by Zorro.
You do make a valid point there, I was wrong.
But this mandolier is...
Seriously, though, I don't think it's going to open too many doors. I think that is a door that was marked Penny Arcade. I wish they would have made a Kickstarter with a... Okay, here's the funny thing. They did make a Kickstarter with a product and did nothing about it. They didn't tell anybody. That Kickstarter ended about 1 week before their big advertising one. They made a card game based off of their ping pong series called, the Red Line ping pong game. It got like $9,000. It just barely crossed the finish mark. And they were just not advertising it. It had one back reward. It was kind of an awful Kickstarter. And then they decided to do one without a product. And honestly, I'm curious to see if they do it again next year. I think they will. But they've set a very high bar for them. They're going to have to beat that mark every single year from here on out, or else they're going to look ridiculous. And the other problem they're going to have is if at any point in time, if Child's Play funding goes down because people have donated money to their Kickstarter, they're going to look awful. And I just, from a business PR standpoint, I think it was a mistake. From a webcomic, and it's their business, if they can do it, they can do it.
Yeah, it really had all the earmarks of just being a publicity stunt, something to gain publicity for
publicity.
Penny Arcade. Look at us, look what we're doing, we're going to get rid of ads on the site.
But I do think it brought up the fact that it brought attention to the fact that webcomics, they don't necessarily make money if they're popular. They make money if they're popular through advertising, and the advertising on the internet has just gone overboard. And I think it brings up the idea to the readers and to the internet public in general that if you like something, you donate to it, and so we don't have to bend over backwards for the advertisers. And so it kind of brings up this new idea in the internet culture of, oh, if I like something, then I can support it, and so it can exist without being bombarded with, hey, here's a great tip, how to lose weight with the old...
I think that maybe for like most of people like us, maybe not that big. It's a matter of, this is completely like me. You remember, I need a manager to live. So I don't really know much about business, but I do see something about Penny Arcade needed to do this because of the sheer size that they handle in terms of, how many employees is it that they have? Like something around the vicinity of 15 people they were talking about, something like that, and maybe less. I don't really remember. So, it's like it comes to a point where they want to compensate this with that and the amount of money they need and all that. You know, it would be very different for like a regular webcomic that still makes a living off of it to decide to do this, because we're talking about very different amount of money and a very different amount of people and all that. So, you know, it's not really – it's a very specific case. You know, it's something Penny Arcade did. You can learn some things from it, but don't take it to mean that we're all going to go that way, because that's not the way it's going to go.
Everyone's different.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill.
Everyone's special, too.
Yes.
Sorry. Except you.
Well, let me – friendship is magic.
Okay. I've got a question here.
Oh, wait.
I stopped drawing to say something.
Oh, my goodness. Ah.
Well, as you can join us, Pete.
Thanks. Well, I want to follow up on something Jenny was saying about it being a new idea. It's all about dropping ads from your site and having everyone support you, right? Well, that's part of the Defenders membership I was talking about earlier. I didn't say this, but the first thing was it's ad-free viewing. The ads don't show up if you're logged in as a member. Bill, I don't know if you do the same thing with your membership thing. So that was an idea that was kind of done a long time ago. And a lot of times when people ask about me doing a Kickstarter project, I almost see the Defenders program as my existing Kickstarter project. It must be rude to ask more of that strong fan base to give me more money to do something else, because they're already kind of paying me directly to do stuff. If that makes sense.
Okay.
I'll go back to drawing now.
Yeah, so let me get three questions.
Oh, well, I was just to mention that I do have a Project Wonderful ad on my side, but that's mainly to promote other webcomics.
Yes.
I presume to a certain extent that you all read webcomics of other people, and I was wondering what is your preferred way to read those webcomics, and before you say use a web browser, dumbass, I subscribe to probably over like 110 webcomics, and opening up 50 tabs all at once really sucks, you know, and I try to split between like daily and weekly and all that kind of stuff, but I'm kind of reluctant to use any separate programs for this because I know a lot of you guys are dependent on ad revenue and frequently will strip out that kind of stuff. So are there any programs or ways that you prefer your viewers to view these, knowing that they have all these other webcomics they're reading?
I'm with her.
I read three. So, yeah, I just have them.
I read about 150, so I'm with you. And as a webcomic provider, I just made that word, it's nice. What I like of my readers is either I would like you to come to my site and look at the ad, or, and I like it just as much, if you're using the RSS feed, and I don't care what RSS feed you're using, because with my RSS feed, you'll get the comic, and then you'll get my blog posts. And my blog posts, the idea behind it is I like to call RSS feed my sticky readers, as in, my comic is kind of stuck to you, and you're less likely to forget to read it, because it's just there. It's going to always cling to you. And if you're reading the blog posts regularly, then when we do crazy projects like, oh, here's a board game, or, you know, we're trying to go to this convention, come meet us, you're more likely to spot that blog post that way. So that's why I'm okay. I know when some people get a larger RSS feed and they can actually feel the image getting torqued out of their bandwidth. We have a really good bandwidth situation, so I've never worried about that. So I always send the image and that. And I know some will like add an ad to the RSS feed to help counter that cost of paying that bandwidth. The one way I don't want people to read my comic is by taking the image file link directly off my server and just posting that link like on StumbleUpon or Reddit. I like it when they post the page on StumbleUpon or Reddit, because it has the blog post still there. But if you just take the art and separate it out of everything that's me trying to be your friend and trying to be your employee, so to speak, that's where it hurts me.
Those are called scrapers.
It hurts me hard.
Scrapers.
Well, there's some.
I mean, I don't like it.
There's some that are like purposeless scrapers, and I'm seeing a lot of people just unintentionally being scrapers. Like, just regular readers, and they're fans.
Yeah, just ask Matthew in them.
Yeah.
I just take, I mean, it's not really very interesting. I just have a folder in Google Chrome called webcomics. There's about 9 in there. I just give it a middle click. It opens them all. Chrome crashes. I don't read them.
We've got a relevant question here real quick.
So how do you prevent people from taking the image straight from your site and just pasting it somewhere else?
I sigh really loudly and hope they hear me. Okay, honestly, and this is one of the best things I ever saw happen.
You have the greatest accent.
Was Zach Wiener.
I love you.
Zach Wiener of Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. One of his comics got hot links directly to this crazy anti-gay site, and they were using it to, you know, check this out. This is exactly what we're talking about. They completely got the joke wrong. And they're sending like all these hits straight to a server who's watching this, and he's like, they straight up hot linked it. They didn't even like do anything to change it. So he just created a new image, named it exactly what the comic was, did a little switch, and decided to edit the front page of this lovely, lovely site. Which suddenly was really pro-gay that day.
I don't know, if I have a complaint about something, honestly, I don't know, I think this goes for a lot of you, I don't know. If I have a complaint about something, I just make a comic about it. You know, here's a comic about how I don't like people stealing my stuff, and it's whining, but, and it doesn't work, but, yeah, that's what I do.
I run two of Bill's websites. I run onthefasttrack.com and safehavenscomic.com. And on that, it's based on WordPress. It's not ComicsPress. It's using another plugin that's actually reliable. And
But we also have a plugin that disables left mouse clicks, and that takes care of 99% of people scraping, grabbing a, because they can't right click to do save as. It's not, you know, it doesn't stop someone who's really, really dedicated to trying to grab it, but just the casual, if I'm going to put this over on Reddit or something like that, it stops those.
All right.
Hi. Getting back to merchandise, I've been looking into producing merchandise for my webcomic, and people are like, oh, use this guy, and then somebody else is like, no, they suck. Use this guy. Who do you recommend for producing and possibly selling merchandise for your...
Well, what do you want to make?
Well, I was thinking about T-shirts until about 15 minutes ago.
Try again.
Yeah. But what do you recommend? I mean, I don't know if I can get away with shot glasses. And,
dildos. I want a dildo with my...
Yeah.
It's gonna be a big seller.
I don't know. Berets, we'll see. Fill in the blank.
Oh.
You want to start off small.
Small dildos. You want to work.
Yeah, like lollipops or like popsicles.
Okay,
you
know, okay, yeah. Still works. Okay.
Ice. Oh, yeah.
You're now going to be thinking about everything we say with dildos. Start out small, you know, okay, don't go big.
Motivators.com has a huge variety. What?
Still works. Motivators, okay.
What do you guys know about that website that I don't? Oh, God. And do a small run of something, you know, less than 250 puzzles.
We all want to talk with her. Come on. Put her on speakerphone. Come on.
Is that?
We all want to talk.
Here I am. Turn the page. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Days of our lives.
Bob Seger, old school.
Yeah.
So are we gonna say hello? No.
She's on a lonesome desert highway from here to Omaha.
All right, I got a question over here.
Can you tell her that she's next, so she puts her hand down? She's hurting my arm. I was watching her.
All right, wait here.
But I'm going to give her... This is how I figure out how to...
No,
I wanted to answer this question real quick. Here's the easiest way how to figure out where to get your merch done. Walk around the webcomics alley. When you see a piece of merch that you like, in terms of how it's made, ask the person who's selling it where they got it. Also, to make it more likely for them to answer you honestly, buy it. It's that weird thing.
Our table is in the artist alley. Table 16.
Table 54.
Table 117.
I forgot.
So out of curiosity, and I really have no idea about this, but is there any kind of gender barrier as a author or an artist? And Jenny, if you've run into anything, how have you dealt with it?
Rage.
That's how you deal with everything.
No, mostly chocolate, other things, and lots of stuff.
Is rage called different when it comes from you?
With what?
Is rage called different when it comes from you? Like,
yeah, I get called an angry feminazi, and I'm PMSing. And that just causes more rage. And I also have the same question for you guys as far as gender barriers.
Well, let me check first.
I know there's one webcomic artist who she does a wonderfully written comic about a guy who's a werewolf magician, and she keeps being accused of being a gay man. I know Spike gets accused of being called a white man. I think that she got accused of being racist. Why don't you like black people? You don't write them correctly. Oh, so I think everybody has their own, like, you know, you're doing it wrong. Everybody thinks that everybody is doing it wrong. The only time that I got really pissed off was when a guy came up to my table and said, oh, so, you know, this comic looks pretty good. So, like, does your boyfriend do it? And I'm like, no, I'm the artist. Oh, okay, so he writes it?
No, he has nothing to do with it. And I raged out at one guy who said, you know, oh yeah, I know the guy who does this webcomic. And I'm like, bullshit. And he was like, no, I like talked to him. And I was like, okay, who is this son of a bitch who's taking responsibility? And he said, oh man, I'm gonna have to tell Obi that he's full of shit. Oh wait, yeah, my boyfriend did redesign my website. So yeah, I raged in the wrong direction. It turned out that I really was taking responsibility.
But angry sex is awesome, isn't it?
Too much bruising. You know, I keep breaking them.
The great thing about webcomics, though, is that there's no gatekeepers. If you want to do something, you put it on the web. This is unlike syndicated cartooning, where the syndicated editors are generally old white males. If you go to the National Cartoon Society Rubens conventions, you will find a lot of old white males. And they're generally the ones who have controlled who gets syndicated. Webcomics, however, if you have an idea, I don't care who you are, you can do it.
Yeah, with the Rubens, it's incredibly frustrating that the solution seems to be right now just wait for those guys to die.
No, that's seriously a lot. But they seem to be immortal, and it's pretty weak.
Yeah. Peanuts right, died, and they still keep
saying. No. It's the people.
No. The guy's in charge.
In charge of the rope.
Yeah.
Basically, in charge of the velvet rope.
All right, at that juncture.
It's definitely a case of.
Hey, how it go?
Hi again. Hey. I thought of another fun one.
Okay.
I know.
Does it involve ducks and horses?
No.
Uh-huh.
But I know I've done this before. Have you ever written a joke that's so bad you regret it? Because it's the one that everyone loves, even though you hate everything about it.
Yep.
Nope.
Well, you know, the guy that wrote the Piña Colada song, he apologizes for it. And you know, that's kind of like my way of life.
All right.
Do you like Piña Colada?
It was last night. I'm sitting in my hotel room, and I'm like, there was like the worst Smash Mouth cover band in the world playing outside. And
did you guys hear it?
Yeah, was everyone hearing really bad Smash Mouth being played? And like, I finally like looking at Twitter and checking out, I'm like, that actually is Smash Mouth. I guess it's one of those things that they're kind of. At some point, you could, if you tell the joke over and over again, it can really grate on you.
Hello. Can you all tell us about the time when you realized, wow, people are reading my comic?
Wait,
not just my friends, my family.
Wow.
So yeah. I read some of your comics. When can you tell us about what it was like when you realized that your comic was actually being read?
The first time I saw someone do the characters from Sluggy in pornographic poses, I was like, yes, I made it. And I was like, oh my god, they're like my kids. Bun Bun was working the camera.
I was warned about that.
Wait, what was Bun Bun doing?
Working the camera.
Ooh.
No other takers on that question?
I just got to point out, like, as much as we're talking about being webcomic fans, like, of all the conventions I've been to, like, 10 this year. I've seen two things cosplayed at every single one of them. One has been My Little Ponies, and the other has been that. Yep. Homestuck is everywhere. I was at RaffleCon. It was a conference about the internet. We actually played hooky from it to go watch the Avengers that day. As we're walking in downtown Boston, we saw three trolls. They have escaped into the real world, people. They're everywhere.
Where do you get the gray makeup?
No, it's blue. Did you follow
online? It's online. Come on, who goes online?
All right, I'm going to hijack this one. We've got a question back here.
What's your personal process for like putting out constant updates all the time? Do you have like days that you only think of ideas, ink, etc.?
Oh, I wish.
I've got an app on my phone that's audio, a voice memo, and whenever something happens where people laugh, I tell them to do it again, record it. If that doesn't work, sleep dep and coffee does amazing things to your subconscious.
Yeah, I've straight up taught myself how to write with my eyes closed.
We're running out of time. Let me grab another one real quick. How do you balance storytelling versus entertainment?
Well, you hit it really hard until it bounces. Oh, okay. So,
you wanted the serious answer.
Oh, okay. What was it again?
Storytelling versus just trying to make sure people enjoy it more than, like,
oh man, I suck at that.
How do you manage a plot and be funny?
Somebody else take it. I suck at that.
I try to figure out what the point is, and then you try to make it funny. And you got to distill it down. It's easy to do a portrait that looks like somebody using all of the paintbrushes and paints and colors, but it's hard to do a portrait that looks like somebody using three lines.
That's profound, Jenny.
I've used it a lot.
All right, let me get the gentleman here.
Breast
cancer,
you have to
do
I want to do a comic for my college newspaper. I'm trying to decide between doing a comic that's character-based, like having it arise from their situations, or just doing a more conceptual comic where each strip is its own self-contained joke. And I was wondering, like, if you guys had any pros and cons for both, or a way you can kind of, like, do a middle line between the two.
Just do both and see what gets the best reaction.
One-shot comics can spread across the internet really fast. Storyline comics with characters can develop a long-term fan base.
When you're first starting out with comics, would you say start your own website or like start posting on like a Tumblr or a blog site or something like that, or go for like a Comic Genesis or something like that?
I'd start through something free.
Right now, Tumblr is actually a great way to launch a comic.
Oh, yeah.
You tag it correctly, you can build a solid fan base.
But also buy your URL straight off before the fans do.
$20 a year.
All right, we got last question. Oh, I'm special.
Yes, you are.
I'm unique snowflake. There are beautiful, beautiful comics on the internet, web comics.
Thank you.
And yours. I haven't read it, but I'm sure it's beautiful.
Go ahead. Question?
I've been flipped off by a famous person. I only just had an answer. I'm sorry. There are beautiful web comics out on the internet, and from somebody that's a artistically challenged person, I'm never gonna get this off.
Get off.
For people that want to write comics, and there are a lot of comics that are being very popular nowadays that are, well, stick figures. And they are focused more on the jokes and the situational one-shot comics. Would you recommend somebody just trying to do something that's not artistically, like, I can't draw crap, but I want to write jokes. Should I just put some crap on the internet and throw some jokes on it and just try for it?
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
No, I mean, I don't...
So when I was... I got a BFA in this shit. I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, majored in comic books. The professor had us do Pictionary, and all of the artists sucked at Pictionary, because when they said, draw a house, we started with the white picket fence, and you didn't know what it was, whereas a house is a square with a triangle on top. And so you really are, to communicate an idea, you really want to boil it down to its essence. Now, you do want the pictures to say what the words can't, and the words to say what the pictures can't. So ideally, to get your idea out there, you do it in stick figure, and you might have somebody come along and say, I like your jokes, this is awesome, but can I draw it for you? You need that next step. So to get started, stick figures.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, that's a tradition that goes back a long ways. I mean, I know you're thinking of XKCD, probably. That comes to mind today. But
you know, the lower graphics.
But there have been very successful comic artists all through the history of comics that have had very, very simple art. You know, Scott Adams can barely draw. R.O. Blackman has very simple art. I've seen more of comics and telling a joke with going all the way back to someone like Otto Soglo, who did a pantomime strip called The Little King. It's very, very simple, but it's very story-driven, very character-driven, and it suits the very simple, very almost geometric art. So, yeah, it's you can get away with that if you're if your jokes are funny.
Alternatively, like, you can write, you can't draw. Find somebody that can draw but can't write.
Yeah, the Harvey Pekar route, for example. Yeah. Because he did stick figures to illustrate what he wanted in his stories, and then handed it off to people like Mark Rom.
Hey, you're funny. You made me laugh.
Random question. Are there any artists in the room that are looking for a writer to make a comic with?
Hands?
You're lying. There's always an outside chance. I sometimes do clinics at conventions, and I try to make those love connections. So go to some go to conventions like that and have those type of programming. You can find artists that way. Go to your local comic conventions and... What you want to do almost is talk to the people in the artist alley and, you know, see art that you like there, and maybe talk to people that are walking around with the giant portfolios that are, be sure you're not talking to the people who are like just buying art off of Jim Lee and Gene Ha, but the ones that have their own portfolios.
Or talk to Jim Lee or Jim Ha.
Or, maybe they're looking for a writer.
Yeah,
find a local college, put a little sign up on the art department pinup board and say, hey, I'm looking for someone to make comp.
But don't give away anything you're not willing to let go and have them steal. Because, if you're working with your best friend, your sibling, your, you know, significant other, always do up a little contract while you're
treat
still
it as
friends.
A business from the beginning.
All right.
Contracts keep friends friends.
Well, we're gonna have to thank our panelists because we're out of time. The crowd outside stands behind you. Thank all you guys for coming because this panel gets bigger every year and you guys are supporting it and please continue to do so.